Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the November 8, 2012 meeting of the San Fernando Valley Council of Governments. May we start with a roll call?
Good morning.
Chair.
Councilmember Aaron Najarian.
Here.
Vice Chair, Councilmember Dennis Zine. Ben Saltzman for Supervisor Zev Jaroslawski. Supervisor Mike Antonovich.
Here.
Councilmember Jess Palamontes.
Here.
Councilmember Paul Kokorin. Carolyn Ramsey for Councilmember Tom LaBonge.
Here.
Emily Williams for Councilmember Tony Cardenas.
Here.
Councilmember Pop Kortz. Councilmember Richard Alarcon. Councilmember Mitchell Englander. Councilmember Sylvia Bowman. Councilmember Marshall McLean.
Here.
Thank you.
We do have a quorum. Thank you, everyone. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Will Councilmember Talamantes from Burbank please lead us?
Just repeat the pledge to our great flag. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item is public comments. Do we have any comment cards?
Yes.
I have a card from Lior Alper, South Coast AQMD.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the COG. Lior Alper with the South Coast AQMD. Just want to highlight two quick programs that we have to bring to your attention. The first is our air quality management plan. As you recall, over the summer, we had a presentation to the COG about the AQMP, and we're almost done with it. The draft final of the plan just went online yesterday. It's available at aqmd.gov. We're doing one final set of public hearings next week. The one for Los Angeles County will be on Tuesday at 2 p.m. At the Cerritos Library. And comments are still being accepted until next week. It will go to the AQMD board at our December board meeting, which will be December 7th. Individuals and organizations are welcome to come and make comment about the plan at that point as well. Once again, the AQMP is a blueprint for our region's effort to achieve federal air quality standards over the next several years. Another program I just want to highlight is our leaf blower exchange. This is similar to the lawnmower exchange, which occurs in the spring and the summer, but this one is specific for professional gardeners and landscapers, although cities can also take advantage of the program. It's a very high subsidy for a leaf blower that would typically be about $470. You can get it for $200. And landscapers, again, gardeners, can bring their existing leaf blowers and exchange them. The few locations I want to highlight, Sun Valley, North Hollywood, and also in Pasadena, that the gardeners and landscapers can bring their equipment and switch down. They can register at aqmd.gov, and the COG staff have this information. I'm happy to coordinate with you any groups, other individuals. Somebody suggested maybe the day laborers might be a way to get the information out to the gardeners and landscapers. It makes a really big difference in helping to clean the air. So thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Yes, Director McClain.
Turn it on. Oh, there we go. Regarding the program, so individuals cannot participate. They can't go online and it has to be an exchange.
Right. So
for an individual homeowner, say.
Right. The lawnmower exchange is available for individuals to bring in. The leaf blower program has been designed to be specific for professional gardeners and landscapers. And cities, by the way, also can take advantage of the program as well. But if an individual happens to own a leaf blower.
Okay, so you said cities can take advantage. How would our city, for instance, take advantage of this? Would our environmental department contact AQMD and say we want to try and participate?
Exactly. So they would contact us, say we've got a handful of leaf blowers in the city. We want to participate in the program, and they would physically bring those leaf blowers and exchange them, just like a professional gardener would.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes public comment. Will the record reflect the attendance of the council member from the 4th District of the great city of Los Angeles, Thomas Labonge.
Thank you. I want to recognize the great council for the great city of Glendale, Jewel City.
Now the sun is shining in this room, ladies and gentlemen. The next item is the consent calendar. On it, we have the minutes of our September 13th Board of Directors meeting. Is there a motion to approve? Second?
Second.
And are there any objections? Seeing none, the minutes will be approved as submitted. So the next item is the chair's report. And I'll be brief. I just think we need to highlight the great results of the Mobility Summit. Mr. Scott will be getting into some of the detail in that during his report. But I think it was very well attended. Most of us were there. We had some great speakers from all different areas of industry and public agencies. Very well representing the, I guess, the nature of what we're all about, and that's the San Fernando Valley, and in this case, our particular commitment to the importance of transportation in all modes, in all areas of the valley. So it was very good. So congratulations, Mr. Scott, and everyone else who assisted you in making that happen, as well as the contributors. I know that we had some sponsorship by some of our members, the City of LA, and others went out and obtained, put the light touch of persuasion on some other private industry members to make a contribution to make it successful. It was bigger than our first year, and let's hope that next year's will be even better. Thank you again to the City of Santa Clarita for helping with a lot of the logistics, and I think it was overall an A-plus event. Let me jump, if I may, to the Executive Director's Report, which is item 9 on the agenda. Bob.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. As our chairman has pointed out, we're going to pass out, some of you weren't able to attend the event, but we're going to be passing out the program from the event. We have a few extras we're going to use for marketing next year, among other things. But I just have to say, it was really difficult, but it was really great and really gratifying when we were done to have this come together. And I have to say, some of the people who are sitting here played a very big part. Supervisor Antonovich, Councilmember Labonge, Councilmember Talamantes, McLean, all did a great job of coming out, helping us, rising to the occasion, making things happen. In some cases, in Councilmember Labonge's case, he put $2,500 on the line. In the case of Supervisor Antonovich, they covered a table and sponsored some things that were above and beyond the call of duty. So all in all, I think the support from this board compared to last year was much greater. If we made one mistake, it is we try to pack too much into too small a space, but a lot of the people kind of liked it that way because there's a lot of bite-sized pieces of information that we want to try to sort out and make available to people. You have in your packet a copy of the financial report through today, or through yesterday, I guess, from collections. And we ended up with about $63,000 compared to something like $13,000 last year in total sponsorships and registrations. We quadrupled virtually everything. We probably doubled our expense, but you know, last year we had actually done a little bit of padding of the tables by inviting some people to participate that we were anticipating being sponsors this year. Edison was one of them where they just couldn't get in the budget, but this year they came back roaring at $5,000, so it paid off to have that sort of front-end activity. This year we ended up selling tables and then selling seats and actually in some cases coming out double on some of those things. So profit-wise, one of the things we hope this would do is help defray this idea of the $100,000 budget by contributing to that differential. Well, it more than contributed to the differential. Our net profit on this is something over $40,000, which was what our target was. So that at least takes one of the issues for us off the table. We have collected about $33,000 in cash that I have sitting. I just got a notice from the auditor controller that she'd like to have these checks rather than have me have it in this folder, so I have to run those over to her. But I understand the idea that I just want to make sure these are held on to and carefully monitored. So for all intents and purposes, the event was super. We do have a short snippet video that Consensus Planning was good enough to put together. They did one for us last year. And if we can, maybe we can cue that up. Once again, this was no cost to us.
And Mr. Callan, in the Sacramento Valley, felt it was very important that we come together and discuss and try to solve issues and problems that are common to our great San Fernando Valley.
The San Fernando Valley, in my opinion, is one of the most important regions of the county. What we're doing as a COG is trying to focus the resources from MTA, from the state, from the high-speed rail, solve some of the issues that we have in the San Fernando Valley.
Well, the San Fernando Valley is a tremendous place, but as the course of time and time has passed, things need to be improved.
One of the biggest changes that we are looking at how we can connect a statewide system into the regional system here, Metrolink, as well as the Metrolink lines, so that people can not only move over long distances, but then be able to move efficiently throughout this region.
Our congestion here is outrageous. So what I'm doing as a policymaker is working with the different associations to try and reduce the congestion.
We're making transportation improvements in the valley that people want, and as a result, people are changing how they transport themselves. For instance, the Orange Line, which opened just a couple of years ago, is now boarding close to 25,000 people a day. We're making changes, but people are demanding the changes, and that's the good news.
We're putting in e-bike lanes. We run commuter express so that commuters can get downtown quickly and easily. We run Dash circulator routes, and we're partnering with MTA on all of their busway and rail projects.
We are making huge changes with our current general plan, One Valley, One Vision, and making sure that we implement the programs and projects that we need to be able to move people along.
How do we get people out of the car? And then one of my goals is, as someone who also wears an environmental hat, transportation and environment work very well together. They're great for the economy, right, because they get people to the jobs, but they also help clean up the air. And then potential leveraging of funds, whether it's on the federal level, state level, or local level, to accomplish both objectives.
Transportation, obviously, is a network.
Right.
It doesn't just affect the place that you're in. It doesn't just affect your street. We have to transfer goods and services from one place to another. So in one case, where it comes to shipping and goods movement, we care about the whole transportation system from the Far East through the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, and then how that works through the land bridge across the United States, because that's a competitive system that helps with our global competitiveness, and our ability to provide quality logistics efficiently is extremely important in today's world.
Move forward. You know, a lot of this situation currently in political arenas, everything is being stopped because one side or the other doesn't agree. So we have to come to the middle and agree or disagree. Well, let's move forward for the benefit of not only our residents, but the people of Southern California.
We're on a national level, I think it puts us in a more competitive position. When we step forward as a region, everybody rowing the boat in the same direction. That makes it much easier to promote what our goals are and actually solicit input and financial, basically, goals.
If you don't have a regional transportation system in place, then you're going to have a dysfunctional system that creates congestion, bottlenecks, and as a result of that, today, L.A. County doesn't have such a system.
This is the greatest city on earth. Only if we can get it moving again, then it would be really the best.
The key to causing change is to be involved. The key to making change is to get, take your jacket off, to roll up your sleeves, at least in a tie, and go after it. So, and if you get knocked out, my old high school coach, Bill Davis, used to say, get back up and go after it. So we're going to fight hard, victory for transit mobility in the San Fernando Valley. 2015 and beyond.
I am causing change in the San Fernando Valley.
San Fernando Valley and beyond.
I'm causing change in the San Fernando Valley and beyond.
The flavor of the event. Mr. Chair, I just wanted to say this brought me an idea that I will, and maybe in your city and your other cities, ask that a report on the conference, the Valley Mobility Conference, be given to the Transportation Committee of the City Council at a date to be arranged so we can move off this and springboard to other success. It's a great little piece there. I was going to say you could cut me out in the beginning and save some time, but I like myself at the end, so we'll keep this there.
I think
we all should have this to our councils.
I don't know if anybody else had. Yeah, I think that's a great idea, too, by the way, to show what we're actually doing. A lot of times we've been criticized for hiding our light under a bushel, but you know, we're a little short on staff, so that's been part of the problem. But I will say we had full capacity crowd in the auditorium. We had side tables. We had people. And even when we had our final transit-oriented district joint development seminar in the Valencia Ballroom, it went on probably 45 minutes past the 2:30 closing time. And that was nobody's idea. That was these people wanting to continue on having this discussion. The presentation was long since over. So the enthusiasm and the number of people that stuck around for this event was mind-boggling. It might have had something to do with the fact that a lot of them went out to Santa Clarita, and they felt... Exactly. And they felt that, you know, we'll stay here for the rest of the afternoon, but they did. And it was very gratifying to have all that. I don't know if anybody else has thoughts.
Thank you, volunteer.
Director McClain?
I'd like to just make two small suggestions for the future. I thought it was fantastic. It was a wonderful success. I think we need to, if you can't do it on your own or whatever, we need to assign somebody to do a press release for the media. I don't know if any of you caught the report in the Daily News about the function, but they reported that this mobility summit was about high-speed rail and the consensus that we all need to support it. And that was the basis of the report on the Valley Summit, which obviously isn't what it was about.
Yeah.
So maybe we could help that with getting press releases out to the press to tell them what our summit's about. And then the next, I think something that was missed that we had at the first one was a lot of chance for question and answers from the floor and getting kind of like input there. And I know time is really short. So those are just two suggestions I'd like to make. Otherwise, I mean, the thing was just fabulous.
Thank you. And by the way, we had a planning meeting yesterday where we talked about that. The very things you mentioned came up. We didn't get as much press as we should have and could have gotten. And secondly, we need to have maybe half or two-thirds of the number of presentations and more opportunity for interaction.
Right. Thank you. But thank you so much. I know you worked really, really hard. It was a huge success. And we're happy to host it anytime you want to have it.
And I'm kind of sorry to say that Mitch Morrison finally got a new important long-term job that he's going to be starting pretty soon, so he won't be able to help us out as much anymore. I was hoping to hire him for the COG, but we'll work something out with a local company, so he'll be staying in town. But Mitch was extremely helpful. Peter McCarty. Peter, hold up your hand there. Peter McCarty and Tina Morrison, who helped us out with, where's Tina?
Right
here. Okay, with the audiovisual in the other part, which is Mitch's wife. And Stacey Andrews, who's not here today. But these are people who came in out of the goodness of their heart. They volunteered. They spent 3 or 4 months actually helping on the telephones. There's no possible way that could have been done without their help. Absolutely, it would have been impossible. So I want to thank them for all that.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The perfect public-private partnership.
Keep that in mind, Bob, when we plan this for next year, to make sure that we do have sufficient assistance to get everything done, whether it's audiovisual, whether it's a press officer, so we can continue and make this even better. I assume you're going to need even more help next year, as we suspect that it will grow and become even better than that.
Absolutely, and I was talking to Councilmember Talamantes about the possibility of Burbank being the host next year, possibly having it across from the airport and doing a little bit about air travel and about the regional intermodal transit center and somehow some of those pieces fit together as far as a general theme. So these are just ideas that we're putting out there right now. So I'm inviting Burbank to invite us. That's the plan. So in any event, that I agree with you. I think we can do better next year. We had so many sponsors that just it was too late. We didn't get to them soon enough, and they're all set to go. So we're going to start actually working it now for next year. So what did I miss? Anything?
No.
Mitchell, did you want to add anything?
No, it's just very encouraging from my perspective that we could quadruple our sponsorships. There's just a high willingness on the part of the private sector to join in and partner with us. And from my perspective, that was the most encouraging.
Okay. And then the next item, which is not to be minimized, is we are passing out a new calendar today that shows the right date for the Philanthropy Summit. This is item 9B on your agenda. The Philanthropy Summit is something we've been working on for about 3 years. It is being sponsored by our COG. We are the lead agency on this, and I was told by a couple of people they didn't realize we were doing this. We have this scheduled for November the 14th. It's at the Valley Presbyterian Hospital Fleming Health Education Center. We're going to probably have 75 representatives from philanthropy around the area. Those representatives are going to be educated as to the SPA 2 or Service Program Area 2 of Los Angeles, which is the largest transfer of wealth area in the county of Los Angeles. This is being sponsored by a grant that we obtained from the California Community Foundation, by the Weingart Foundation, by the Wellness Foundation or Endowment. So we've got several different agencies doing that. It's not open to the public. It's only open to people who are going to help us present the case, not for why we're being underfunded, but rather the case why we're hiding in plain sight, why this region of Los Angeles is not recognized as really existing, why the funds tend to flow south but not north, why we're not harvesting the money that we can bring in. We have the California Community Foundation is going to do their report on this SPA too, and how we can do more of that in the future.
Please, sorry.
Okay. And then finally, from my perspective, the portfolio sponsors, one of the things we're going to try to do, because we had such good response from sponsors, is to go ahead and try to get some regular annual sponsors. People who will sponsor some of the activities that we do in the various portfolios like education, because we do have an education coalition that's going on right now that most people aren't aware of, and a few others. So that's just something I wanted to give you an update on, and that does it for me, unless there are questions.
I just want to say the UPS guy was the best speaker.
Noel Massey.
Noel Massey, yes.
He's very good. And don't call it United Parcel Service.
I made that.
That's old stuff. You beat that. Thank you, Mr. Scott. And the reason I was giving you the breakout sign is because I understand we may be losing some very important members.
Okay. No, I totally understand. And you had suggested you might want to move a few things on the agenda.
Absolutely. I'm going to move right into some of the more interesting items on the agenda and go as long as we can with the remaining items until we lose our quorum. But let me make one comment regarding your report on the Mobility Summit. It is critical that we maintain the proper accounting practices. I'm not an accountant, but whatever they may be, if it's and we are overseen by the County of LA Auditor Controller's Office, and I know they've been sending some emails around and saying, well, where's the money? Now I know where the money is.
It's right here in this folder. Yes.
So whatever it is, I encourage you to have a meeting and understand what their particular requirements are in terms of deposit, accounting, duplication of checks and copies and backup, whatever that may be. Let's make sure they're very happy with our accounting and bookkeeping process.
So my intention is to clean all that up, put it into a simplified report with all the documentation, and make sure that at least you have a copy of that so that we know that we're doing it the correct way. Sometimes these things just stack up, checks come in, they go to different places. But I point well made, and Rochelle Anima, who's with the County Auditor Controller's Office, and I have worked great together. She does a wonderful job, and I like the fact they're keeping us on the straight and narrow.
To the extent you have it on electronic media, shoot it to all the offices.
Okay.
To all the members, so they have a particular question, they won't have to...
Hopefully within the next 30 days, we'll have a nice, clean, complete report from the day we started business.
And that includes, aside from that part, I know earlier in the steering committee, you had mentioned that several payments you had to make out of your own account and are seeking reimbursement. Whatever the proper procedure is with the county auditor controller, I think we need to follow that. And if it's on us, I mean, if we as a board fall short, then we'll have to, either through the executive committee or through some other quick method, obtain some approval or pass the hat amongst our cities. I don't want you to have to pull out your Cashy Maximizer account and write a check to whatever bill that's overdue.
Well, I don't know how everybody else does it, but I will say that we didn't have banners and we didn't have programs like 3 days before the event. And there was no way other than to use a credit card to get those things done in overnight service. Just impossible. So what you got to do, you got to do. I don't know if there's a better way to do that. I don't know how the various offices handle those things, but if we have a system for it, that'd be great. I'd love to not use my credit card, but right now there's no other way. It's the only way to get it done.
Right, so you're being punished for a good deed, probably.
And that's okay.
And I appreciate that you realize the importance of those other items.
Yeah.
But let's not, I don't think, the auditor, the controller would give us a pass, because we really needed those programs or those banners, and it came out of your account, and now,
well, they said they didn't have a problem with that part. But there may be a better way for us to do it that doesn't require using a personal credit card.
And that's perhaps something that we need to do as a board, to set a policy regarding those last-minute payments that need to be made. And as our budget increases, hopefully there'll be a little bit of flexibility in operating account, if you will, where that can be done.
And I might recommend the steering committee maybe try to conjure up an idea for that.
Okay, very good. I think we've got a lot of things that we'll be doing, and this will be clearly one of them. Okay, the next item that I'd like to go to is item 15, the Management Services Agreement. So this is our agreement with Mr. Scott. Just to recap, and we really didn't, there may have been some confusion last meeting about what was official, an official decision, what was the intention, etc. But to summarize it, the COG itself has been paying a sum of $4,000 a month to Mr. Scott. Previously, was it the Valley Economic Alliance?
Well, it was $4,000 a month for the Valley Economic Alliance for the all-inclusive management services agreement, which was the initial idea. And that includes, rent, and it's basically a full-service contract. And that was, at least the conversation was, that was to get things started.
Give us, just for give us just a summary of to whom our contract is with, and what the amount is, and the term of that contract.
The term is renewable annual through 2016, I believe. It's $4,000. It doesn't really mention or recognize the contract between the Alliance and myself. The contract between the Alliance and myself is for $6,250. So they were subsidizing it for the first year. There was never a set time that they were going to subsidize it for, just to help get things started. That was the idea while we figured out where we were going to go. As you remember, Mr. Wood came in last spring, and he said that they would stop as of June, but they actually stopped as of May. And so we were left with just the four, and that's I don't want to put a value judgment on that. But
so our agreement, then, the contract
The contract with the San Fernando Valley with the Valley Economic Alliance is for $4,000 a month. The contract
is with them. They are the party, and they're hiring you essentially.
Yes, I came with them, and part of that is because they have the facilities and the meeting rooms and the mailing address and all the things that go with it. We have a sign up on the door. We have an office, ostensibly that belongs to us, etc. And you know that it's all those sort of office services. So we don't have to pay rent, and we don't have to rent conference rooms, and you know all those sorts of things.
And the date of commencement of that contract, the term.
Is
it a January or is it a?
I think it was
February.
February, something like that. Yeah. But for all intents and purposes, when he came in and said that they weren't going to fund it anymore, I'm not sure. I think that pushed it into oblivion somewhere, as far as the the subsidy piece of it. So.
And when did their subsidy stop?
It stopped. May was the last month they made a payment.
May was
for
the last
subsidy.
Month.
And their subsidy amounted to $2,250
per month. So it was our discussion, just to recap, that obviously we didn't have the funds at that time, but we were hopeful that the proceeds of the mobility summit would give us some additional ability, if we chose, to backfill, if you will, the amount, the $2,250 a month to cover the starting from January. I think we were all talking about it.
We were attempting to do two things at one time. One, we were attempting to adopt Budget B, which my opinion is we adopted it. But and then the other part was a different contract. I have since pulled back from the different contract and just talked about amending the existing contract, which County Council came up with an amendment for that.
Chair, why don't you have County Council chime in just to give us direction what's before?
Yeah, okay. So actually, let me stand corrected. The initial contract was executed April 14th, 2011. It came back before you for renewal. And there were two budgets passed at that meeting. Budget A on consent calendar with the money you had, and then Budget B, which is pretty unusual. And it was if you had the money and if there was an amendment to the contract because the budget terms were inconsistent with the contract terms. So you would need, it was stated at that meeting, you would need to amend the contract. That amendment is now before you, which would give $75,000 a year. That would be the budget that would go to the Valley Economic Alliance for Management Services.
Okay.
And also, sorry, there's also a second part to it. Also, there was a motion to change the term so it would go through June 30th, so it would be consistent with the fiscal year, or corresponds to the fiscal year.
Okay. So even though the budget, Budget B, was passed and had a line item for the $75,000, that in and of itself does not act as the as a contract. That's a planning document.
That's not a valid means of amending a contract. And that was stated at that meeting.
Okay, so what we're here, and that was stated. So what we're here to do is discuss the amendment, which would change the date of the contract commencement to June 30th, or extend it to June.
Yeah, it would.
Looking prospectively.
It's not a retroactive amendment. So what it would do, it would extend the term through June 30th. Of 2013, and then it would be up for renewal at that time. You could vote, and it would extend the ultimate date where it's valid to be renewed up to 2016.
At 1 year?
One year in increments.
Okay. And the $75,000 figure. Okay, so that's what's before us currently.
You got the money?
Do we have the money? Mr. Scott, we have, as soon as those are deposited and the check's clear.
Well, we still have to collect another $30,000, but we also have the $7,500 miscellaneous budget item buffer. But I guess maybe I'm still curious whether or not we have a $100,000 budget, which was what I thought we passed, or if we have a $60,000 budget. And my understanding of it was that we had passed the B budget, and I wasn't aware we passed two budgets, but that's maybe.
You passed A on consent calendar.
You know, that consent calendar sneaks up on you and just...
So I don't know if it's...
What has a greater blast in time has the greater effect? I mean, is the determining...
The B budget was also approved on the idea that we would go out and raise some money, one through the Mobility Summit and two through grants. And we're only a couple of months into this fiscal year, and we've already pretty much covered that backfill, if you want to call it that. So we're moving to where we said we'd move. We said 40,000, and we're over 40 when we collect everything. But, you know, we have people like Edison that, you know, there's a process. So a lot of this, some of this money, about 30,000, still has to be collected.
But there's a good hope, that money will come in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, these are people who sponsored last year, who paid us, who want to sponsor next year, who paid. These are AAA companies. Yeah.
I just got a suggestion because when we build a street in the city of Los Angeles, before we can start construction, we've got to have all the money in the bank. I would feel more comfortable if we had all the money in the bank and then execute it. If we want to make an amendment, if it's possible, with the money that we have now up to a point, I could vote yes today, but not to money that we don't have. To be fair to the auditor, to be fair to you, we've got to have the money, because I don't want to all of a sudden in April or May of next year stand here and say, well, we're $30,000 short. Edison got bought by Con Edison. Or whatever.
We actually do have the money in the bank. For all
what
of this.
Balance? Do we know if it's
I wish we had it. No, I don't.
Yeah. The Daily News was here. They brought a big bad story about us.
Right, right. Well, perhaps you could put a proviso in there that we make sure that there's a balance of some amount of money. Because there was, remember we had a first year we operated with no expenses because we didn't have any, we didn't do anything.
Right, right.
So that money is still in the bank.
I got it, but I would just feel clear, Mr. Chair, if the chair and a committee of two members who could sit and make sure with the county council's blessing what we have to do, and then I'm all for it.
Yeah, as long as we don't have to wait another 2 months. And there are some dire consequences that are no interest to this board, but there are things that...
I have the same concern, and the way the budget was approved was $75,000. So I added language of payment. His payment shall be made per monthly invoice from contractor as approved by the chair of this board and subject to the availability of funds. So that you would be able to get your $75,000 in the first month if that money's not in there. So it's going to be up to the chair and how those monthly invoices are. It's not broken down monthly as it was in the prior contract. So that's up to this board. Right now it's subject to the availability of funds.
So basically we could vote for this today, but COVID, it could run out and we had no obligation to pay at that time.
Right.
Right. So this...
Okay, so that's a condition on the...
If you only get $60,000 or $70,000 total, then you're not really bound to pay $75,000. It's only $75,000 a year if the budget is that big. So
let me put it this way: we have at least $10,000 in hand. That's 4 months. So I think we'll be back revisiting this in this body before we run out of money.
But also, I feel bad, Bob. You're sitting right there. I'd rather have this done than it with an executive committee.
If we could do that, that'd be fine. It's kind of tough to do it in this.
Right.
In this.
I got it. Yes.
Director McClain.
All right. Are you getting, how much are you getting right now per month?
Good question. Last month I didn't get anything.
Okay. So what we're trying to do here is to figure out how we can get you your salary.
Yes.
And to me, is there money right now?
Yes.
To pay you?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
And with the safeguard in place, where if there's not the money, you don't get paid, I don't understand what the big deal is with passing something today so that he can get paid and we can have our budget going. You can always revisit. But to me, he putting this off and putting it off and putting it off, especially when that language is there to protect ourselves, that if you don't have the money, you don't get paid, I don't see what the problem is.
Okay, so those are details we can work with. But let's assume we've got the money. Let's assume it's in our pot right now. As we all know, this board must act unanimously. That means every single director present has to agree to the increase that this group is paying from the $4,000 monthly to the $6,250 that would make up, if you will, for the loss of compensation from the Valley Economic Alliance. Is everyone okay with that? And we all have to be okay.
My hesitancy is, you can't tell me how much money we got in the bank. If I go to the Wells Fargo, I don't have my wallet with me, but if I go, my wife could ask me how much we got in the bank, I'll pull the card out, and that's what we got in the bank. We don't know what we got in the bank. I'd be happy because I would like to see it all. Then up to, if we know for sure there's $20,000 in the bank, then we exercise that so there's payment made up to that point, and then ask that the committee of the chair, and you pick two other people from other cities, you know, come back with a path forward. I don't believe this is good government, even though it's bad business. It's bad business, so put two together. I don't want to be a spoil sport here, but I just want to be cautious because I don't want to fool you, Bob.
I will. Here, what I can do is I can happily meet with the chair, A, and B, I'll talk to our auditor controller after they tally up this and see if we have whatever the number is. Hello?
I think I might be able to interrupt him. Okay. Michelle,
I'm with
the IRS controller.
Oh, hi.
We're fine. Hiding in the corner. You're listening intently. You do have a financial statement available in your packet, which was included under item 9, the executive director's report. And as of the end of September, you do have a little over 31,000 available. As you remember that from the first couple of years of operating, especially the first year, you did not have a director in place. So there is some additional cash available from previous years. Our concern, though, is that the money does get collected and that we are clear on our role and what to do if the revenues fall short later on in the year. Right now, it's on an issue of maybe come Monday in the year. And we just want clear direction from your board. We'll be happy to accommodate whatever ruling you make here, but that we're clear on the direction we should move in the future.
Director Levine.
Yeah, can I just ask a question? Would you feel comfortable if we made a 90-day and then renew this in 90 days and hopefully have it clear? Because I would not like to approve something to say if we got the money, because we may not have the money. And then I don't want to, you know, break your heart or break the heart of this organization. But if the 90-day is a good segment of time, then that's three payments, right? 3 times 4 is 12. You said we got 21?
31.
31. So that's still within the margin of error if you're off by 2. You got Marshall High Math, right? Mike McConnell's classroom.
And, Council Member, I believe that does not include the checks we have here.
That is only as of September 30th, your balance. Yeah, we've
got 30,000 something in
but
here.
Truly,
against
we would not get a boarding pass if we were at TSA with all this information, right? So if you judge everything, how you get a boarding pass, you want to make sure we do it right.
Right.
Okay. So I would feel comfortable, Mr. Chair, because I know you're not anxious to try to write Mr. Scott, but if we say up to a point, and then I don't know how you feel, you don't feel that way.
Okay. Ben, Mr. Saltzman, on behalf of Supervisor Dazlowski, I know you have some comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is on behalf of Supervisor Dazlowski. We have to make sure that before we approve a contract, we have the fiscal house in order first. And so I think we need to make a couple things clear. First of all, the reason why there has been some discrepancy in the payments over the past few months, and that's unfortunate, we've got to resolve it, isn't because of this contract issue, it's because of accounting issues and because of confusion in the fiscal house. So I think that there is a consensus that we have to get this right. We have to deal with the fact that the Economic Alliance decided not to continue the subsidy. But what we're looking at here, effectively before us, is a 36% increase in salary coming from the COG. And before we do that, we have to make sure that all of our ducks in a row, because frankly, you know, signing a contract, if money's available, if it's not, who's going to make the decision, who's going to count it, is just a bad way of doing business. As the councilman said, it's a bad way of running a government, and frankly, it can only get us in trouble. So what I would suggest is hopefully a compromise, is we sit down with representatives of our fiscal manager, the auditor controller, with any members of this body who want to make sure this gets it right, with the executive director, with the auditor controller, and we come up with a plan to make sure that before we approve a substantial raise, that we have a comprehensive and tight fiscal set of controls in place. And, you know, I would suggest we have this, you know, if we need a bi-weekly meeting going to January, let's do that. But let's get this done. But frankly, we just, at least from my perspective, you know, we haven't seen that kind of work happen with the auditor since the last meeting. I think we need to deal with this comprehensively, and we need to do it right before we do it at all. So I would be happy to roll up my sleeves and do whatever we can to get the auditor on board so that we can be prepared to make a decision on this in January, and hopefully something that will help Bob and help everybody else out, but we've got to do it right.
Any comments on, I want to get it right also, and this goes along with what Director LeBonge was saying at the very outset.
No, absolutely. We have to get it right, that's for sure, but how can you expect someone who's working not to get paid for months on end until you decide that the wording on a piece of paper is right? Is there something we can do to get him paid?
He should be getting paid, his assistant with the contract, $4,000 a month. What happened was, and the auditor can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is after that meeting where budget A and budget B were passed, there was a bill that went out for the increase salary amount, and so now there's repayments going back. That's why there was no payment last month. So to get back to the $4,000 rate.
Gotcha.
So he needed to get gas money, to say that. But that being said, I think, Ben, if that was a motion, I'd second it. And if you could be involved, maybe if you could be involved at least telephonically, three members, as a councilwoman from another city, so it's possibly could be expedited. And could we, county council, have a telephonic meeting or a voice for it if we needed to?
Unfortunately, because of all the scandals and balancings, salaries now have to happen in a regularly scheduled meeting.
Okay, so we'll figure it out.
But your next one is in January.
Right.
What I would suggest, and making it in the form of motion is fine, but forming a working group to work on the fiscal house rather than the decision of the salary, because I think that should be a precondition toward the public decision of the salary. Right. Would that be acceptable, Jill?
Yeah. So I just to clarify, so that fiscal committee may or may not come back with a recommendation at the next meeting?
It would be my hope that, you know, frankly, these fiscal issues have been going on for a while. It should not take us, assuming we can all coordinate effectively, have it done by the next meeting. And if we can't get it done effectively by the next meeting, then I think that says something, too. But we ought to be able to do it within 2 months. Absolutely. That would be the way I have been doing it.
So we're going to have to go this route. We just can't, by majority vote, decide to do what most of us would like to do because of our structure. So I think it's important that we move on this as soon as possible to get these get the financial house in order, and then. Hopefully, immediately thereafter, decide on the additional $2,250 and hopefully the $75,000 contract, annual contract for Mr. Scott. Should we create a fiscal committee? We have a steering committee.
I think you should, because what defeats most events right now is when you don't have something that goes right down the middle of the rail, you know.
So. Right. Mr. Sossman, would the supervisor like to chair the fiscal committee?
I don't think we should ask the supervisor. It's running Ben's a pretty tough guy. He could join it.
Well, I think the third district would be happy to chair it.
Very good. Now, does anyone else have concerns that that really need to be raised at this committee, so when it comes to the board, that we're going to be ready to act on it one way or the other and say, oh, well, one more thing, I couldn't make the meeting last night.
The only thing I think of us, if I can just say this, if the money's there, then I can approve any contract. If the money's in the bank, just like I said, we don't start a road project until all the money's in for street widening of Woodland Avenue. If it's not there, it doesn't start. So we'll have all the money for the professional services that we have, and then we can move forward. But we're still getting something to the consultant, if I can say that, based on the pre-existing contract.
Right.
So.
Okay. Right. The $4,000 is still being paid. It's the. But from his point of view, I mean, to be fair, he was getting $6,250 a month, and all of a sudden that is down to $4,000.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be.
No, I understand. No. I mean, but this is to be fair and to bring just let everyone know what the impact is on Mr. Scott.
Mr. Chairman, and we may be mixing up agenda items, but I just wanted to put it out here so that it's all part of the discussion, and if there needs to be discussion and reaction on it here in this context, we can do it. And that's the RFP process that we need to make sure is in place. And so I would make sure that that is an element of the kind of fiscal controls that the group has in place. So I would recommend that that be dealt with as well.
So let's call it a fiscal. Let's expand the name.
Well, may I just throw a word or two in here?
Yes.
I think that because of some of the things we have going on, like the Metro TOD3 grant proposal we have in, that we do have to cultivate a credible RFP process. But I would not like to see this tied into that, because that may take a longer time. We have to come up with a full-on. And by the way, you have, I think, under item 16. No, what is the item? We have an item here where we suggest beginning that RFP process. Number 14, contracting and procurement policy. And there are some sample documents attached to the packet that talks about that. There's a Fresno Council of Governments example of a RFP and what the model might look like. But I don't know that that's going to be something we're going to have resolved by January.
Well, I think if I can respond, I think we have to have it done really fast, given the time frame at which the call for projects is moving. So, given, I think, the research that you've done, given the fact that there's a lot of experience that I know everyone here has in terms of dealing with contracting issues, whether it's COGS or somewhere else, I see no reason why we shouldn't get it done by January. I mean, if you want the two parallel processes, I'll defer to your,
I'd love to get them both done, but I'd like to not have the compensation package, and I feel terribly uncomfortable sitting here arguing my compensation package. I don't want that to be why we have these meetings. I want us to be relevant, and I want us to bring in revenues and be a successful organization. So the sooner we can get out of this conversation, the happier I'll be. But I'd like to not throw any more things into the pot that have to be clarified before we can move on to doing things, actually accomplishing something. So I'm just saying, the RFP process, we have some thoughts about what we can do. Hopefully we'll just get this done. We have a miscellaneous budget item. I'd like to actually get... I've been recommended to an attorney who specializes in this kind of work, that does work for the Gateway Cities COG, does work for the, dare I say it, San Gabriel Valley COG, and they have answers to some of our questions as far as how these RFPs work and how to keep the process credible and transparent. So, you know, that's something I want to try to achieve in the next couple of weeks. But I just hesitate to have that tied in, because everything that's a proviso, you know, I'm sorry, but in the real world, we all have to make house payments, and, you know, it's tough to go without being able to do that. So anything we can do to speed the process and the opportunity, I'm happy to work 24/7 to get this solved.
Mr. Evans.
Just for clarification's sake, is it a question of the fiscal house being in order, or is it a question of, we're just a little unclear of what we've passed and what's transpired? Because it seems, according to the county council, that there are safeguards in place with the contract. It's just that Councilmember LaBonge mentioned that he feels a little uncomfortable today taking a vote because the money is not there and we're not sure what the accounting is. So it seems like because there is safeguards that we could consider taking some sort of action today is one thought. And then second thought is maybe because the TAP committee is December 13th, we could do a joint TAP committee and fiscal committee, a joint meeting that day, or just a TAP could be it. But take an action today, or maybe a temporary action today, and then revisit it on January 10th at the next board meeting. But do something today if we can.
But I think the county's very concerned. I'm concerned, so then we're not unanimous. Everybody's got a vote.
Everyone's, I guess. This is our unanimous.
But I would feel more comfortable for you too. It was an executive committee that met and solved this. And you can personally, because it is no fun, it's no fun sitting there, no fun thinking about a man or a woman in this position that they have. So I would second Ben's motion, but also put a criteria. If in the event that all the stars align, a special meeting may be called at the most closest facility to, maybe the Burbank, the Glendale City Hall, where everybody can get to. I know it's a little further for you, but I think it's closer for whatever it is. To try to solve this issue. But this personnel issue, I don't want to talk about it in public, but I think it's real important, Bob, because you don't have it's a process.
No, I agree. Okay.
So what are
I accept that as friendly.
Absolutely. Okay, friendly.
Great idea.
Great.
Is there anything that we can do today to act, and I'm asking council, to act in some way that we don't have to wait until we have another general meeting, which is January? Is there some way we can delegate, or is there some way we can put a pull pin on it so that if we don't have the right numbers, we can pull the pin and it doesn't happen?
I don't think you got the votes. That's the trouble. Because I don't think you're not comfortable.
I'm sitting here with $33,000 in good checks on the desk right here in front of me.
Well,
so in addition to what we got there, so I feel as though it's just a matter of my getting.
I got it.
Economists
are good, Michael. All seriousness, because you have so much experience on this. What you've been through so many things like this.
This is on.
Yeah. Jesse.
Okay.
You have to have all the bills paid, the money in the bank, and then move forward. And there's a question: do we have those resources? So, we could have the county council draft. The information that we need, and then have a special meeting. But moving forward without the understanding that the money is there would be irresponsible.
Okay.
And I think Zeb and Tom and Marcia, we're discussing in that vein. So it's like, show us where the resources are and we can make that action, because of what occurred with FICA. Now we have this situation on our hands. But we can't just allocate funds if we don't know the funds are going to be there. And when you say money's coming through, be it Edison's coming through with money, hell, Edison couldn't turn on the lights in Pasadena and Altadena for weeks after the tsunami they had, right? So they're not the windstorm they had. But they're not efficient in giving you your paying their bills on time. And yet we would then be left in a deficit, and we don't have that ability. So
let me just say, I totally agree with you as far as the integrity of the process. I'm just asking if there's a way we can compress it up a little bit.
Special meeting.
Okay. Go to the bank, okay, and deposit those checks, and then call Ben and say we have $7,000 in, and then we could have an emergency meeting.
Right. Okay. I have a little bit of concern, because I do think that we can't do salary increases at special meetings anymore. There was a new law, a new provision section of the Brown Act that passed this year in response to the bail scandal. So you have to do it at a regularly scheduled meeting for executive director and executive salary.
Can you have a regular scheduled special meeting? It has to be in January?
I will look. I'll talk to our Brown Act camp.
Okay, why don't you check on that?
I'll give you all a report and have everybody.
If we can do a special meeting, we'll do it with that information. If not, we have to wait until January.
The integrity of this group is the most important.
Absolutely.
Period.
Right.
So.
Good. Okay. Okay, I didn't realize that it had to be a regular scheduled meeting, not a special meeting. Can it be approved? Let me ask you this. Can the contract be approved conditioned upon the written approval of a member of the 3rd District, the chair, and the city of Los Angeles?
I mean, again, if you have the votes.
Can it be delegated?
I mean, can that be done? Can we? We're talking about
the timing. We don't make the decision. No, just 3 people make the decision?
I mean, if you have a unanimous vote to delegate that authority.
So if we vote unanimously to approve the contract at $75,000, conditioned upon the approval of the 3rd District, the chair, and a representative member of the city of Los Angeles,
can they delegate that authority?
I mean, that's odd, but
I just when you mentioned the word bell, and I forgot about that. I think about Bell High School football team, Fort Bell High School.
There
and I
mean.
Just think I don't know there's any way out of it, Bob. And I would rather have been.
I'm only asking if it can be delegated. And if it can't be delegated, it has to be at a regular meeting. That's it.
Okay. If anyone's uncomfortable with that, then I think we. The fallback position is we meet, the fiscal committee meets, we come back January 10th at our regularly scheduled meeting.
And if you can do it earlier, I will let you all know by the end of this week.
Right.
If we can do a special meeting, we do a
special regular meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who would like to join the 3rd District in being a member of the fiscal committee? Someone from the city of LA?
Well,
or your representative?
Involved, or my representative.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyone other one interested? I will also, or my representative, be involved in that as well. So that will be a committee of 3, and we would include the county auditor controller and the county council if necessary, I presume.
Now, Mr. Chairman, would you want to make that in the form of a motion wherein the delegation, if it can be made, is made, and if not, then it would be the next regularly scheduled meeting?
I'm sensing that there isn't full unanimity on the delegation conditioned upon approval of the,
The only reason I'm asking is I don't want us to have any misunderstandings. You know, we had a little misunderstanding in the last couple of meetings, so I just want to make sure we're clear what we're doing.
It will be very, very clear and clean. And I like that just our legislative analyst, which does personal service contracts committee, offered to help, which would be good. So there's an extra arm for us to try to put this together to make it right for the executive director and for this agency as it goes forward. If the foundation is not strong, the building doesn't stand. We want this cog to stand. So let's just move on that.
Okay, so that's the motion. We're going to create a fiscal committee consisting of representative of the 3rd District, City of Los Angeles, Director LaBonge's office, my office, the City of Glendale, and we will work through the issues
with the support of the city legislative analyst and the county council
and the county auditor controller
and the county auditor. Sorry.
And to come back with this body is the intent to come back to this board with a resolution of any issues, a clean bill of health in the accounting and auditing department, and entertain the motion to increase the to approve the contract of $75,000 per year for our executive director.
And I can call a special meeting if that is appropriate.
Yes, if it can be done sooner by special meeting than to do it as soon as possible.
County council and county board auditor.
County council, county auditor, legislative analyst. That should be sufficient. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Is there any objections to that? Okay, so that will be our order, and hopefully that's...
Now, for clarification's purposes, did we or did we not approve budget B, or did we approve budget A? Because what you're talking about with the contract would have to fall within budget B. And there seems to be there's some ambiguity as to which budget we approved.
We'll leave it to committee.
Yeah, but I think that needs to be clarified with the help of the auditor controller.
That's part of the housekeeping. That's part of the accounting issues that we are facing. And we'll obviously come with one budget. What recommendation, if we need to re-approve one budget to avoid any ambiguity, then that's what we'll do as a fiscal committee, come to the board to clear that up.
Okay. Works for me.
Okay. Thank you. Let's move on to item 17, the voting majority issue. So here's the problem. I mean, I think we're sort of seeing it now as we speak. And we have seen in the past when there are certain issues that come before the COG that we'd like to make a stand on and have our name signed as an official endorser for or against a particular issue or proposition, we're still stuck with this unanimous requirement, which I think is very difficult to take any step. The problem is that we're not able to make input, we're not able to sign our name to any issue that is in the least bit controversial, and as a result, I think we're losing our relevancy as a COG as it relates to important issues in the region and the county. This was created, this was a bastard baby created several years ago by all our agencies trying to bring groups that were not always comfortable with each other to the table to create the entity of the San Fernando Valley COG. Some were afraid that the city of LA was going to run away with everything. Others afraid that the county was going to run away with everything. The county and the city of LA thought that the independent cities of Glendale and Burbank were going to steal the show. And this is why we came up with a unanimous verdict, unanimous vote decision. I think we need to change that. And we have in past meetings had several ideas set forth by Director Antonovich and Jared Degonia. Others by the City of LA on apportionment, on weighting different blocks. I think this is something we should discuss. We should be able to get together and take those concerns into account. So there is some action that we can take, albeit despite one member or two members' opposition to the question at hand. So I'd like to discuss that. If people have any ideas, if people would like to form a committee, another subcommittee, or send it to the executive committee to bring the concerns in and try and tailor an amendment to our JPA, I would really enjoy hearing from you. Director Antonovich.
What you want to have is each entity have one vote so that you have a regional voice and regional policies coming out of here. If you allow every member to have a vote, the city of LA already has more votes than our individual smaller cities. The best solution, if that's what you want to do, is to have the city of LA has one vote, just as the other cities have one vote, and the county, because there are two of us, let us have a half a vote each, so that combined we have one vote, or, we may have a difference of opinion, and our half vote will go on one side. But that way, everybody's going to be treated equally. And the COG needs to have a unified voice and not have one dominate the other. That's the problem with the MTA. The City of LA's four votes are kind of like, it's not a balanced situation. I like to see more independent city representation instead of just four. And because the whole thrust of these COGs and why we're getting engaged is to have a voice. Like the San Fernando Valley, from the city of LA, you're only getting 15% of the population. Getting $1 billion when you should be getting $7.5 billion. So we want to have equal distribution of these funds. We're not being anything of that. That would be my.
So how would we structure that rather than doing fractions of votes? Is there a way that?
So I'm with fraction because the county has two.
You want to give the state of LA each a quarter vote? Fine. It would be a seven. There's seven, then divide seven, you know, into that. And then a majority of those votes.
However they want to play with their seven.
But within, let's say the city comes with one vote, city of LA, and the supervisors come with one.
Yeah, Glendale
with one.
Santa Cruz one, Burbank one.
So let's say it's 3-1 or 5-2. Would a majority, would you support a majority?
Whatever the majority is, what it comes out with.
Would the city of Glendale have the same vote as the city of LA?
Mm-hmm.
One vote?
You're treating each city as an equal. Each city has one vote. The county has one vote. We're going to divide it half a vote each, so it's a total of one. We're not going to dominate any more than any other city would dominate.
Thoughts on that, people? Is there a willingness, and of course this has to be unanimous as well, is there a willingness to explore alternatives to the unanimous vote requirement? Because we all have to at least be willing to take that step. If not, we're in this version of hell where we keep going back.
It's a little difficult without the council members actually here to make a decision. But not saying anything that not everybody already knows, but, you know, LA City in a unique position where each council district is the same size as a city, mm-hmm. a small city. So it is a tough dynamic to work with. But I think back in July, we asked that Bob prepare a report back or some alternatives for us to look at and to have our COA and the City of LA review. So if it would be possible to see maybe a couple of different options for us to review, that would be beneficial and have our CLA review as well. That would be desirable if we can.
Is anyone dead set against exploring alternatives that would bring in the principles of equity and, we're talking about equity. Anyone dead set against it? I mean, in the end, we're going to have to craft something that we've all had some input in. Okay, so there's no one against it, Bob, and we can maybe put some, obviously we'll have to have some meetings, maybe at the executive level, to look at different configurations, the Antonovich, one city, one vote, well, one entity, one vote. The city of LA would like some accommodation for their size and their different jurisdictions. There must be some way. Anything is better than a unanimous vote.
And I'm going back to the origins of this organization. There were a number of different ideas floated out here. I'm just looking at some of the PowerPoints that I think I shared with this group in the last few meetings. Voting less than 50,000, one. 50 to 100 was two, and 150 to 500 was three, etc., where actually the city of, say, Santa Clarita would get two or three votes, where the city of Glendale would get two or three votes, where the city of San Fernando would get one vote, where city of L.A. would get, in this case, seven votes, and the county supervisor would still have their two votes, so that you still have your board, but you have a different weighting formula where you have some sort of balance. Now, when this was discussed with Jerry Miller, the CLA for the city of Los Angeles, he said he could go back to his council with something like this. I think it was 18 votes total instead of the 13 that we have now. And he suggested that it was fine, and they actually understood, and the folks from the city of LA actually understood, that they didn't want to rule the roost. That was their idea, even, that they didn't want to outnumber everybody. So we needed a formula that allowed some balance on the board. I think the idea of one, or splitting one, and that sort of thing might be problematic as far as who gets to sit around the horseshoe here. I think it's extremely valuable to have everybody represented at the table, whether or not they have, what vote they have, their voice is what's important in developing the public policy. As Jeffrey has said over here, he said, you know, we should really have the actual delegates themselves here, not necessarily alternates, talking about this, because it's a policy question. And that's what this group is supposed to do more than anything, is develop that policy. So I would say that is an issue. Keep in mind, this is a change in the JPA. So the other question you want to ask is, we've got to go out and sell this to each of the cities so they sign a new JPA. While we're at it, we might want to look at any other modifications we might want to make to the JPA. And while we're at that, look at whether or not we want to empower this board to make future changes. Or if we have to go back every time we want to make any kind of a change and go back and have each of the jurisdictions make that change. So it's not easy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's COGs that have been set up already that have been working for many, many years. So let's follow their model. Let's, you know, as long as I don't want to muddy the waters anymore, but as long as we're talking about the voting, we also have to talk about the due structure. And there's COGs that have already set up structures on dues and voting. You know, we're really, and I think just to get this off the ground a couple or 3 years ago, everybody bought into the idea of the way we currently function, which we're starting to realize that it's not a good way of functioning. You can't go anywhere if it's going to be unanimous vote. You know, you just can't move forward. You just can't proceed. So if we want this COG to be successful, if we want this COG to be relevant in the COG world, Southern California world, nationwide, San Fernando is extremely relevant. So if we want this COG to be relevant, we have to proceed with common sense, rules and regulations, policies. And it's just like it was stated, you know, and I'm not talking down to the alternate, but the policymakers have to be at the table to discuss these issues. Because if my alternate was here talking, and they go back and talk, and, well, wait a minute. No, I don't agree with that. But anyway, I just feel that we should proceed in a common sense approach to making this a successful COG. It almost seems like it was designed for disaster. It was designed not to be successful. And there's hurdles that are being pulled along the way that I get the impression, my own personal impression, that somebody or some jurisdictions don't want this to be successful. So we have to address it. As policymakers, we have to address, do we want this to be successful or not? Let's not waste time. Let's not have subcommittees. I've taken a lot of time out of my schedule to attend subcommittees because I want it to be successful. And then I see those subcommittee members that are in attendance. I can just tell you who doesn't want it to be successful because they're not at the table talking about it. We're all busy. We're all busy schedules. I understand that. But if you really want this COG to be successful, to progress in the COG world, to be significant in Southern California, we have to do everything we can to make it successful. Otherwise, be open about it, come to the table and say, I'm going to be against everything that the COG stands for. So we cannot proceed. And that way we don't waste anybody's time any further. Thank you.
Director McClain.
I totally agree with that. And we have to come up with a weighted vote. We absolutely have to. And figure it out. Have our executive director figure it out. There's no objection to trying to figure it out, obviously. And on one hand, I hear the alternates can make a decision so that we can't make a decision, and then on the other hand, the alternate saying, well, the elected should be here. So which is it going to be? We need to discuss that as well, so that when we do come to these meetings, we can make a decision, for goodness sake. I think the way it is right now is just, it is wrong, and it needs to be changed. So rather than have another committee meeting where you discuss stuff to death, let's have some information brought to us so that we can have the electives here and make a decision here. That's what his job is. And I think that's what we should have the confidence that he's going to come back with the information we need. If he doesn't, well, then we'll say, well, go out and get some more. But we've got to set some parameters for this group if you're going to be successful. I mean, for years and years and years, I've been on the city council in Santa Clarita for a long time, and I've seen other cogs out there be successful, and we're always left in the lurch in this northern corridor here. We've got to fix that, and this group can do that if we're all committed to making it successful. So I totally agree with Jeff, to be familiar. And we've got to do something, and I would say direct our executive director to come back with several plans that we can adopt here.
Okay, Mr. Scott, so you're getting direction to come back with alternative voting structures, alternative dues structures, attendance and voting adjustments. Should the elected be present to cast a vote for or against? Should the alternate be able to cast a vote either fully for or against any particular, when I alternate, I mean designee for or against? What else was there? Was voting, dues, if anyone has any, I mean, this is sort of like a general, let's amend the JPA request here on these things.
I think if you're going to do it, you want to try to do everything at the same time, because going back through all the different jurisdictions will be a task.
Right. So those are three areas that we'd like you to come back, and I think the relevant discussion when we see, you know, different alternatives will be at the next meeting. And it may continue for more than one meeting, but it's something we can all...
Well, and I'd just like to underscore, we didn't think too much of the Los Angeles Corridor SB 1225 issue, and it was tabled at the last meeting, and I got grief from everybody as to why is the San Fernando Valley Council of Governments sitting that one out. That was an important issue. Everybody else was on it, and we weren't, and they wanted to know why we weren't. What was our problem? And I had to explain our process, and that marginalized us.
I mean, we were irrelevant in that discussion because we couldn't step in one way or the other.
Message received.
And if anyone has any other ideas or thoughts, please feel free to contact Mr. Scott directly, and he'll begin work and bring that to us next meeting. Okay, let's go back. How's everyone for time? We're right at the cusp of a quorum. And we'll go as far as we can. Transportation Committee report. Mr. Palamontes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, as we discussed, the Mobility Summit, very successful. I think there was a lot of good information that was passed out. Thanks again. It was mentioned already to Mr. Scott and his staff. Mitch, thank you. And his wife, your wife, thank you very much. And for everybody, Marsha and McLean, for helping us out with the facility. Thank you very much. I just was glad to see all that participation. That was very good compared to last year's participation. But I think there was a lot of information that was passed out. There was the main thrust, obviously, of organizations to pass out information, educate everybody. You know, it just bottom line is infrastructure/transportation. Those are needs that are extremely vital for not only our different jurisdictions, but Southern California as a whole. So I was glad to see that participation. Other than that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Scott to see if he's got any other comments on some of those items.
The only thing I would add is that we did host the Call for Projects workshop on Monday. Monday was a busy day for us, and we had a great turnout. It turned out that most of the people in the room were from Metro. I didn't realize there were so many different sections of Metro, but they each did their reports, and they helped us with the call for projects. They helped us to understand that. We provided a valuable service. I believe, Mitch, we had 10 participants from our member jurisdictions. So that was successful. The other item we have on here, item C, is if you want, we can delete this from the line, but you know, I think it's one of those things that we should be concerned about because it may be cross-jurisdictional in nature, and that's the Orange Line BRT surplus. When they finish the Orange Line, amazingly, they save money. And I'm not sure who's controlling that money, but one of the things we talked about was trying to dedicate that to the line, the Orange Line, but on the other end, on the east end, where it would interface with Burbank Airport and make that part of that fund be the same color of money, as they put it, but it would be money to help the Orange Line go the other way. I have heard other suggestions from CD12 suggesting that it be used for shuttle buses, but I'm not even sure that that's possible. I think that's a different color of money. So if we were going to reprogram that money, it might be worthwhile trying to help make that connection between the Gold Line and the Orange Line, and put it toward that and connecting the Orange Line to the Burbank Bob Hope Airport. So that's that piece. If anybody wants to knock that off the agenda, they can. Otherwise, I recommend continuing that one. This is kind of important. This is another one of those very controversial issues.
Item 11.
Okay, yeah.
Item 11.
Yeah. Item 11. This board decided.
Let me just. On
yes, sir.
Item 10. With the signing of Senate Bill 1225, the San Fernando Valley now has an opportunity to be directly involved, which is the LoSAN board. And because of that, I appointed Mayor Belitsky to succeed Director Jackie Bacharach, who has served with distinction, because Burbank is going to play a central role in the development of the LoSAN corridor. They are home to the thriving media district, a large employment base that generates ridership for the entire system, and the Bob Hope Airport is the only LoSAN station with direct access to a regional airport, and it's vital for the Valley's regional airport access for the people. Developing rail connections to the airports again remain a top priority, and Burbank is home to also Amtrak and the Metrolink system, and often these services have been uncoordinated in the past. So with the governor signing up this law, we now have an opportunity of working together to have a seamless system and do what has been needed for so long, rail to the Burbank Bob Hope Airport.
Great. That's terrific. That's the point. So in any event, where did we get? We went back to 10 and back to 11. Okay. Metro round 3. So this board voted to allow us to make application, and you remember at the last meeting we had some conversation about how the process would go, the procurement process. In any event, problem we ran into was we had the proposal broken down into two pieces, Part A and Part B. Part A is kind of a generalized backgrounder. The City of LA signed a letter approving and recommending that we go ahead and do that. That's about $1 million of grant money. Part B was for us to create station area plans. City of LA had decided to do station area plans for the Orange Line, but not for the Metrolink stations. You have a copy of the Metrolink map with the colors of the stations marked out. We picked out 5 stations that this Council of Governments wants to do station area plans for. One of them is Chatsworth, one of them is Northridge, and I want to share with you a planning document called Northridge Vision, which we just completed doing work for Northridge with the idea that when money and resources became available, we would do more to help Northridge, help them with their transit-oriented development. Problem right now is that the City of Los Angeles has decided in their infinite wisdom not to support that piece. And as far as we can tell, even though we have 7 LA City Council members on our board, we're not getting that support. We also did a couple of projects, Interstate 5 Corridor Study, Interstate 5 Corridor Study 2. There's a Metrolink station in Panorama City. This is a study we did on the Panorama City plan. There's a Metrolink station in Sun Valley. This is a study we did in Sun Valley. This is Vision 2020, which we did in 2001. These are all documents and work that we've done in the past with the hopes that in the future, when resources became available, we'd be able to do things like station area plans. But for one reason or another, we are not getting the support. I would like to suggest or ask that anybody who has any way of having any influence over the City of Los Angeles Department of City Planning intervene on our behalf. I know that Carolyn Ramsey from Tom LeBlanc's office has taken some interest in this. Point being that this is the flashpoint. At some point, the city of Los Angeles is going to have to decide whether or not they want to be part of this group. They did vote to form this group. Whether or not they want to be supportive of the projects and the goals of this group. Whether or not the San Fernando Valley is going to pass on funds like $1 million for station area plans. And at some point, that decision has to be made. Or are we really just a cog in name and not in practice? So I share that with you. I share that with the members of the, and I have Jeff Edenstein has been helpful, and some of the folks in Paul Krent's office. But I think this is a point where we need to talk. I can't do it myself. I'm the executive director. But the policymakers, the folks here, the ones that are concerned about the city of Los Angeles not necessarily always playing well with neighbors, this might be a good time for them to intervene and say, look, we're on this. This is why we exist. We exist to do these things. One of the things that I shared with Supervisor Yaroslavsky when he was asking about funding is I said, we hope to be able to pick up the crumbs that the city of Los Angeles lets fall off the plate. Well, these are crumbs that the city of Los Angeles is letting fall off the plate. These are services that the San Fernando Valley won't be getting. It's being taken care of in Santa Clarita. It's being taken care of in Burbank. It's being taken care of in Glendale, but not on the Los Angeles City portion, because the Los Angeles City generally has a culture of not really wanting to share jurisdiction with anybody. And somewhere along the line, they have to join the club and join the conversation. So I find myself somewhat frustrated by their lack of cooperation. I have contacted all of the offices. I've contacted the head of planning. Everybody's kind of stepping back a couple of steps. But I think this is where we decide whether we're going to work together or not. And so this is an important issue. It's also $2 million, which probably means about possibly $200,000 to $300,000 within the COG budget. That would be fairly significant. And it's from Metro, and as we all know, Metro is one of the few places where there are some dollars, and this is part of the geographic equity discussion that we've had. And it's time that maybe we step up to the plate and put in our ask. So I don't know how you'd like to proceed on that.
The Metro Call for Projects is an opportunity for a regional input, and we need here to develop those projects that are going to benefit the members of this COG that cross their city and county boundaries. And you come up with, you being this body, come up with a list of projects that we can focus on and then be involved with at SCAG, at our local cities, at the COG, at the MTA, at the state and federal level. So I know the San Gabriel COG has been very effective with getting resources for the Alameda Corridor East. I mean, that's where we really got that program started, because the Alameda Corridor East was abandoned, was never thought of when LA City built the Alameda Corridor, stopping at LA City's boundary and forgetting that you're going to have hundreds of trains going daily through the San Gabriel Valleys, impacting 55 intersections and 911 calls that Jess is familiar with. So anyway, they developed that, and they've been very effective as a voice from SCAG, federal and state legislative committees. So we need to develop, each of the cities here need to find out what are your priorities and then work on those to get them achieved. So that's what we should be more directly involved with.
Scott, yes.
Committee or how that structure works.
Remind us where we are exactly in the process. We have Cordova. Did Cordova prepare the grant request?
Cordova assisted us in coming up with the ideas and the scoping. And there was some question about how that would be handled. The research I've done indicates that there's not a problem with working with contractors and having them help you come up with proposals. But there is a period, there's a process for RFPs. From the time that it's certified to the time it's put out to the time it's judged. Worst case scenario I could tell is I would be disqualified from serving on the selection committee because I had been working with the contractor. But there's no reason why this board couldn't create a selection committee and have a perfectly straightforward process for.
Okay, well that's if we get the money.
Correct.
Okay.
I think you're going to need to move through quickly. You don't have, Cordova is not your contractor.
Correct. Yeah. But they did the application.
Right.
Well, let me clarify that. They didn't do the application. I did the application. The COG did the application. They helped.
Okay.
That's
and there's no money granted, so there is no contractor. We haven't awarded anything.
We have not awarded anything. We have a disclaimer letter from them that says that they're not expecting to be, you know, automatically selected because of that.
But your earlier remarks with regard to the vis-a-vis the city of LA reflected their planning department.
Reflected that that Metro wants to see that the underlying jurisdiction is supportive, so that if they come up with a station area plan, there's a reasonably good opportunity that that plan could be put into the general plan or the community plan of the region affected. The, our other cities are all on board with all of this. They're all doing it. But the city of Los Angeles has not been cooperative.
Who's left in the city of LA?
Jeffrey.
Can we implore you to get assistance from your council members to help us in this? Because it's a lot of money. It doesn't look like the city is interested. They may not even be aware that it's happening. If they are interested, let us have some of this as a cog. And I think we have a good chance of success of getting some of this money, and we can all work on that.
I'm going to go ahead and speak on behalf of council members that we cover this. Bob, can you provide us with a little bit more information about what planning told you in terms of not supporting? From what I understand, they just didn't support part two.
Understood. Yeah, they said they can't afford it.
Okay, so it's understaffing, yeah. Under-resourcing.
Yeah.
And so simultaneously, they are working on the MCA Call for Projects grant, which is right. Another, and I noticed that's on the agenda, but we haven't really addressed it. In terms of the TOD and the Call for Projects grant, will Cordova be assisting also on a pro bono basis with?
Not necessarily. Whatever they can do to, you know, keep themselves out of the limelight, I think they'd prefer. But they were trying to be helpful with us, and we were told by Metro that that was okay. That was, you know, to work with a contractor, to have them help you scope it, to have you help them, I mean, have them help you price it. You know, it's not something I have the expertise to do. So, you know, I mean, conceptually I can put it in there. So it's that's something that we will get the necessary information on. But all I'm saying is that the city of LA has been a disconnect. All the council offices were contacted on short notice, I admit. But the sense of it is that the Department of City Planning isn't ready to sign off on that. And that's a decision made by one or two people at City Planning when we have seven members of the LA City Council sitting on our board. And it just doesn't seem like the exact correct result. That if we want to do this, they should be cooperative. And secondly, even if this doesn't get implemented in the next 2 years, 5 years, or even 10 years, at least we get it out there. That's how these kinds of projects work. They happen over decades. They don't happen in the next 36 months.
Would it be possible to send me a PDF of the Panorama City?
I would do better than that. Why don't we try to meet with you and show you all the information? And we'll get you copies of all the documents. Yeah, so some more background. And we haven't done as good a job with that as we should have.
Any other comments on this item? Okay, at least I understand your frustration, but at least we're... You know, I think it's just to a lack of awareness of the issue rather than being opposed to the concept and the intention of the call.
I'm hoping that's the case.
Okay, let's go to item 12.
Okay, Valley Mobility Matrix, I can dispose of in a few minutes. We've got a lot of input at our event, and that's going to be incorporated in our ongoing Valley Mobility Matrix, which is the idea, this is our planning, this is what we'd like to do in the North County area over time, and we're basically building on the Metro Measure R work. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. What we're trying to do is come up with what additional things do we need to do. Do we need to deal with Tom LaBange's pinch points? What are some of the other things that we need to put in this matrix as far as rail, the Antelope Valley Corridor, some of the other things that, as you know, Mr. Chairman, you work on at Metro. So that's basically it, just keeping it on the radar screen.
Okay. Mr. McCarty has submitted a card for speaking. Okay. Thank you in the essence of... time. Thank you for waiting. The next item is item 14. Did we roll this into our fiscal committee discussion?
Yeah.
The purpose of item 14 is merely to begin to start the process on contracting and procurement. I'm basically asking the board to acknowledge the fact that we're going to be going forward and looking at a process There's two documents attached to your agenda. One is the Fresno Council of Governments RFP, which looked pretty clean as a starting point. The other is a document having to do with the policy process integrity. I can't find a name on it as to where it came from, but it looked like also a worthwhile document to start work on. So hopefully we can ask council or someone at council's office to take a look through those documents and see if they begin to approximate. I don't know that we can do the process that the County of Los Angeles does. I think we'd be better off trying to do the process that the City of Burbank does or the City of Glendale. Some of them tend to have shorter documents that are a bit more concise. The county is much more careful because they deal with a wider range of issues and are probably more careful about what they do, whereas some of the smaller jurisdictions would be a better model for us just because of our lack of staff.
Typically, in a larger organization, staff is all this. They've got the staff power to go through and to create their policies. So because we're thin, we need to. Whose model are we using?
Fresno. And for no other reason than the fact that I was looking through some different samples of what the various COGs were using, and they had their template, and it looked pretty straightforward as far as the issues and what was what. There are very few numbers of appendices attached to it. It's kind of straight and clean. So that's just I just pulled that out as a possible starting point. It's within the state of California. Presumably, it's in compliance with California law.
Okay. So what's our action on this? Is there anything?
There's no necessary action. I think just apprising you of the fact that we're moving forward. As Mr. Saltzman pointed out, it's something we need to get going on. So we're going to be moving forward, and hopefully council will assist us with
that. So we'll have something ultimately before the board, and we'll...
I'd love to have it ready to present to the steering committee, followed by a presentation to the board at the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
And, you know, can I...
Yes.
I guess I will comment on this. I mean, generally, you do have a staff. I'm not really capable of writing a statement of work for you guys. You have to have a statement of work. You can't just pull off online. We need to know what it is you're advertising for. It might be... There are state and federal laws that allow you to piggyback JPAs and other jurisdictions to be more efficient. So maybe if one of the cities or the county, one of the jurisdictions within the COG is willing to volunteer, I'm sure all of you guys have some service and contracting staff. If you can run a document through one of the jurisdiction staff to do the initial document, I will review that. But I'm not really capable I'm coming up with a statement of work. I don't have the technical expertise to know what it is, what services you're looking for. There's also options. You can do a request for proposals, or you can also do things like RFSQs, which are requests for statements of qualifications, where you do have, I see this term bench consultants thrown out a lot. That is something where you do have technical experts on a list, available list, where projects come out. You don't have to do a full RFP. You can choose from your list of people that are already qualified, and you usually leave those open for 2 or 3 year periods. So if other consultants who are qualified become interested, they can qualify at a later date and be added to your list. But it does have to be some competitive process. This is all public money, and if you keep getting contractors in the private sector to help you out to do the services for free, they're going to become disqualified, and they can't then get a contract from this cause. So I'm not sure that a letter saying I don't expect the contract is going to be enough to really override perceptions of conflict of interest. They're writing the solicitation document, they're disqualified. There is a conflict of interest or presumption of such. So I think it would really be best if one of the jurisdictions stepped up and volunteered some staff. That's my recommendation.
Sounds like an excellent idea. I'll ask our chair to see if maybe his jurisdiction would be helpful.
Okay. I'll be happy to.
Okay. I would think that Glendale might be a good resource for something like that.
Okay.
Actually, they had done with the in the TOD 2, I think it was.
We did.
Did something like that, yes.
Okay, no problem. We'll see how Glendale can assist in that. Are there any comments from the members? We're about through the...
Let me make a motion
that we would direct each of our cities for the cost to have a call for projects to be provided for the next meeting, so we know what projects each of the cities need that we can begin working on. And so each of the counties and the city project that to you, Bob, put on the agenda to discuss that so we can get a priority list and move forward. You need that.
MTA call for projects or just general?
Both. I mean, there may be a project in your city that you want MTA to be aware of.
No, that's a good idea.
Push,
So just for the record, this is a motion under item 10B.
Yeah. So I make that motion.
Room 4, create a clearinghouse, if you will, of all our call for projects, so we can obtain some synergy from tying it into our neighbors. And in fact, in the MTA review process, that is a big factor. Is its regional impact.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Second.
I'll second this.
Okay, very good. So without objection, we will order and encourage all of our members to bring forth their call for projects so we can look at them and brainstorm and retailer them for their best chance of success.
Perfect. And that will fit in with the mobility matrix as well. So that's good.
Okay, any other comments from board members? Director McClain.
Is there any interest in discussing number 13 since it didn't pass?
Measure J, Measure R. Actually, that was supposed to be taken off of off calendar.
I was hoping you weren't going to say that.
It came back up as
sorry, it's on my list.
You going to do a victory lap or something? No, it failed, so I'm not sure what.
No, not victory lap, but I mean, there might be an opportunity if this is resurfaces that we can put our two cents in and get what's really correct and right. Included.
Let me comment. I've talked to Supervisor Kanabe and Mark Ridley Thomas. We would like to have input from all of the areas of the county as to what they would need and want for transit, and then develop a proposal and go back to the voters. But first, get a sign off from all of the cities and unincorporated areas so we have a regional transportation system. One that doesn't just benefit one or two projects. So we're going to be working on that in the coming months.
And we as a COG can certainly.
Oh, we want to.
We have our list. Right.
Engage in the COGs.
That will. I guess that goes along with our mobility matrix and everything else.
There. Certainly knowing what we want to have.
And this is son of Measure J.
We use the 101 corridor and Measure R as an example where because of conflicts in 2002 and 2003, the 101 corridor was left off the Measure R list. And so we didn't have anything, if you will, shovel ready for Measure R and consequently didn't get anything for the 101 corridor.
It is always a good idea.
It wasn't in the forefront when that was being developed.
It's always a good idea to have projects on your shelf ready to pull down. And that's Director Yaroslavsky mentioned that many years ago at the MTA, and those are truly words of wisdom. Don't let your lack of money stop you from dreaming. Director Talamanta.
Yes, just one more thing before we adjourn. I just
that applied to 710.
I just like to thank Supervisor Hatovich for appointing Burbank's mayor to the Lowdown Board. Thank you very much.
Okay, anything else? Ideas? Comments?
Yes. I just want to mention that if I'm not mistaken, this will be Councilmember Cardenas' last meeting, which is representing. We sworn in on January 3rd, 2013, and so our seat will be vacant, and the city of Los Angeles will have six representatives.
Well, he's carrying our recommendations in Washington, so that's our contact to walk in Washington.
Absolutely.
Yes, extend our heartfelt congratulations to the congressman-elect, and we hope that he maintains close ties to our COG, and we'll be sure to keep him aware of things that bubble up through the car that are relevant.
We do, and we plan to have a representative here just monitoring.
Oh, excellent. Very good. Anything else? Nothing. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. We are adjourned.